Giddivadatari. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Stotra Shatashi Sumad is Divine Grace. Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Stotra Shatashi Sumad is Divine Grace. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premsikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gora Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavanam Ki Jai. Maipur Navadvipa Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tosi Maharani Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Lotus Feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9. Text 17. Loko vikama nirata kushale pramata. Karmanyayam twarudite bhavar archane sve. Yes, Tavadasya Balavan Iha Jivatasham. Sadyas Chinatyam Inshaya Namostu Tasmai. Loko Vikarma Nirita Kushale Pramata. Karmanyayam twarudite babarachane sve. Yas tavadasya balavan iha jivatasham. Sadyas chinatya nimishaya namostu tasmai. Please chant. Mark 2 disease, please. Matajis. Lokaha, people in general. Vikarma, work without sense. Nirataha, engaged in. Kushale, in beneficial activity. Pramataha, negligent. Karmani, in activity. Ayam, this. Tvat, by you. Urite, enunciated. Bhavat, of you. Archane, in worship. Sve, their own. Yaha, who. Tavat, as long as. Asya, of the people in general. Balaban, very strong. Iha, this. Jivata asham, struggle for existence. Sadyaha, directly. Chinati, is cut to pieces. Animushaya, by the eternal time. Namaha, my obeisances. Astu, let there be. Tasmai, unto him. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. People in general all engage in foolish acts, not in the really beneficial activities enunciated directly by you for their guidance. As long as their tendency for foolish work remains powerful, all their plans in the struggle for existence will be cut to pieces. I therefore offer my obeisances unto Him who acts as eternal time. Purport. People in general are all engaged in senseless work. They are systematically unmindful of the real beneficial work, which is the devotional service of the Lord, technically called the Archana regulations. The Archana regulations are directly instructed by the Lord in the Narada Pancharatra and are strictly followed by the intelligent men who know well that the highest perfectional goal of life is to reach Lord Vishnu, who is the root of the tree called the cosmic manifestation. Also in the Bhagavatam and in Bhagavad Gita, such regulative activities are clearly mentioned. Foolish people do not know that their self-interest is in realization of Vishnu. The Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 30 through 32 says, Matirna Krishne Paratasvato Vamito Bipadyeti Grihavartanam Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamisram Puna Punashtravata Charvananam Natevidu Swartakatam Hivishnu Dorashe Yerbahi Artimanina Anda Yatandir Upaniyamanas Tepishatantriam Uridam Nibadaha Naisham Matistavad Uru Kramangrim Sprishyat Yanarto Pagamo Yadartaha Mahiya Sampada Rajobishekam Nishkinchananam Navrnita Yavat. People who are determined to totally rot in false material happiness cannot become Krishna-minded either by instructions from teachers, by self-realization, or by parliamentary discussions. They are dragged by the unbridled senses into the darkest region of ignorance, and thus they madly engage in what is called chewing the chewed. Because of their foolish activities, they are unaware that the ultimate goal of human life is to achieve Vishnu, the Lord of the cosmic manifestation. And so they struggle for existence. And so their struggle for existence is in the wrong direction of material civilization, which is under the external energy. They are led by similar foolish persons, just as one blind man is led by another blind man, and both fall in the ditch. Such foolish men cannot be attracted towards the activities of the Supreme Powerful, who is actually the neutralizing measure of for their foolish activities. Unless and until they have the good sense to be guided by the great souls who are completely freed from material attachment. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asks everyone to give up all other occupational duties and absolutely engage in archana activities or in pleasing the Lord. But almost no one is attracted to such archana activity. Everyone is more or less attracted by activities which are conditions of rebellion against the Supreme Lord. The systems of jnana and yoga are also indirectly rebellious acts against the Lord. There is no auspicious activity except archana of the Lord. Jnana and yoga are sometimes accepted within the purview of archana, when the ultimate aim is Vishnu and not otherwise. The conclusion is that only the devotees of the Lord are bona fide human beings eligible for salvation. Others are vainly struggling for existence without any actual benefit. Om Gyanatimandasya Gyananjana Shalakoya Chakshu Unmilita Mina Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Translation one more time. People in general all engage in foolish acts. Yes. People in general all engage in foolish acts, not in the really beneficial activities enunciated directly by you for their guidance. As long as their tendency for foolish work remains powerful, all their plans in the struggle for existence will be cut to pieces. I therefore offer my obeisances unto him who acts as eternal time. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. When we look at the Sanskrit, loka vikarma, Prabhupada translates loka as people in general. Loka could also be translated as planet, so loka is the people on the planet in general. Vikarma, they work without sense. So Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains the difference between vikarma, karma, and akarma. Karma literally translates as activities, and karma in reference to the Bhagavad Gita is explained as karma performed according to Vedic injunctions, so religious activities, generally meant for material prosperity, wanting material enjoyment out of those ritualistic sacrifices or pious work. And we have vikarma, which means activity that either disregards the Vedic injunctions or is completely ignorant of them. So that's basically the whole world, except for maybe a small percentage of like people in India, some Brahmanas, and then of course the Vaishnavas, devotees. But Vikarma means just anything you want to do without any regulation, without understanding that there's things that I should avoid or things that I should perform that are pious or impious. So just oblivious to any sense of that whatsoever. And then akarma, with the prefix a, means without or no. So those are activities where you don't get any karma, neither pious or impious. And that is considered the devotional service of Krishna. There's an example like a boomerang. Everyone knows what a boomerang is. You throw it, it comes back to you if it works correctly. So the activities you perform in this world, they will come back to you. But if you throw the boomerang for Krishna to catch, you perform activity for Krishna's pleasure, that reaction does not come back to you. Rather, you get to play with Krishna and Krishna becomes your friend eventually. So I was just thinking when I was reading this, this is kind of just a little side note and then I'll get on to other things, is when in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya says that anyone who eats food cooked by non-devotees, their consciousness becomes degraded. I think he uses the word vicious or something like that. Their consciousness becomes vicious. So we often call like grains cooked by non-devotees karmi grains, but actually they're vikarmi grains because we have no idea who's cooking them. Okay, so I'll go on. There's Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he mentions how Vishnu is the roots of the cosmos. And people in general don't understand this, so they perform activities for their own sense gratification. And he says that those who are intelligent, they know the highest perfection, the goal of life is to reach Lord Vishnu, who is the root of the tree called the cosmic manifestation. So Krishna is the source of everything we see. That verse in chapter 10, text 8, Bhagavad Gita, that I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds, everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service with love and devotion. So us, as souls, as eternal entities, our existence is coming from that Supreme, the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Everything we see with our senses themselves are coming from the root of the tree, which is Lord Vishnu. And the whole cosmos is coming from that source. And some people may argue, I don't see any God in control. I can't see God with my senses, so therefore he must not exist, or it's very precarious situation that you religious people or spiritual people are saying that the soul exists and God exists. We can't see him or can't see the soul with our senses. But we can analyze this that there's many things we cannot see with our senses. For example, we can't see Wi-Fi with our senses. You can't see it floating around. But if I log into my phone, I turn the Wi-Fi on my phone, then I'm connected with the Wi-Fi. And I could see the symptoms of the Wi-Fi. That way I can get internet, I can search things on my phone, and so forth. So in the same way, bhakti yoga, or devotional service, Krishna consciousness, is that process when we're turning on, so to speak, the Wi-Fi, and we're connecting with the Supreme, connecting with Krishna. And the symptoms is that we will become enlivened spiritually, we'll become detached from matter, from material elements, and we'll develop good qualities of humility, tolerance, and ultimately love for Krishna. We'll be able to understand that the spiritual reality, the spiritual world, becomes more of a reality to us, rather than just some theory or something we read out of a book. It becomes more and more real. Whatever you put into devotional service, that's how much you get out of it. And Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 11. That those who surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly to their surrender. So if you give 100%, Krishna will give you himself. If you only give 50%, then you can expect that you're only going to get 50% Krishna's reciprocation. So Krishna's, he wants us, he wants to give himself to us. That's actually what he wants. He wants every living entity back in the spiritual world, because that is our true home. But it's, he's just waiting for us. He's in our heart. He's just waiting. And Prabhupada said in a class just the other week that just as if you were with your best friend, you were with a really good friend, and your friend wanted to go somewhere that you weren't interested in going to, you know, some club or some bar, you weren't very interested, but because he's your friend, okay, I'll go with him. So in the same way, Krishna is within our heart, and for birth after birth, we're taking the form of so many forms, 8,400,000 species, dogs, cats, and cockroaches, and alligators, and Krishna does, you know, he doesn't really want to be there. That's not his business. He's in the spiritual world. He's enjoying with his eternal associates. But because he's our friend, he's our best friend, he comes with us in those life forms. So Prabhupada mentions that these persons, he quotes the Bhagavatam, the Canto 7, and persons who are determined to totally rot in false material happiness cannot become Krishna-minded either by instructions from teachers, by self-realization, or by parliamentary discussions. They are dragged by the unbridled senses into the darkest region of ignorance, and thus they madly engage what is called chewing the chewed. So chewing the chewed, you can imagine someone chewing gum and they spit it out. You see like gum stains on the sidewalk. Imagine if you were so foolish and so crazy that you were going and picking up those gum stains that are now black because they're dirty, and you're trying to chew that and get some flavor out of it, you would be considered crazy. But if actually that's the position of the living entities in this world, every activity you could perform for material sense gratification has already been performed unlimited times by unlimited living entities. And you yourself have been performing those activities for billions of births, trying to find happiness, and yet we continue to do so. We try to enjoy life as a cockroach, try to enjoy life as a horse, as an elephant, as a worm in stool. Same thing, just sense gratification, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And then now we get the human form. The human form and the animal form have many similarities. We all have to eat, we all have to sleep, we all mate, and we all defend. And we all have to meet with birth, death, old age, and disease. But the human form is special. Why? Because we have special intelligence. We have a higher intellect than animals. Animals cannot participate in this discussion we're having now. We don't see any horses in the audience listening to philosophy. That's because they don't have the intelligence to comprehend that. We don't see alligators building skyscraper buildings because they don't have the capacity to do so. But the human intelligence is actually given for a specific purpose. Human life is meant for self-realization. And Atato Brahma Jigyasa, now is the time that you have this human form of life. Don't waste a moment. Inquire who I am. What is life about? Where did this world come from? What happens after I die? What happened before my birth? Where did this whole thing come from in the first place? Why does existence exist in the first place? So these are inquiries by an intelligent individual who is looking for existential answers to his situation. And a sincere soul, because Krishna is in the heart of every living entity, a sincere soul who is searching for those answers, Krishna will guide them to his pure devotees, to his representatives, or to the manifestation of his teachings in the form of the scriptures of this world, the Vedas, the ancient yoga text, such as Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. But the insincere soul, and it's quoted in this verse, that even if one is performing activities of self-realization, if they are determined to be rebellious against the Supreme Lord, their systems of jnana and yoga, they're not going to work. Prabhupada says this in the purport. The systems of jnana and yoga are also indirectly rebellious against the Lord. There is no auspicious activity except archana of the Lord. The conclusion is that only the devotees of the Lord are bona fide human beings. eligible for salvation, for liberation. And he also says in the beginning of that paragraph, yeah, no matter what you do, even if you're searching for self-realization, if you're still holding on to envy, if you're still trying to be God within this matrix, this virtual reality, this illusory world, if we're still holding on to the concept that I'm going to be the supreme enjoyer, that I'm the middle of existence, then your self-realization at best will culminate in impersonalism or Mayavad. So this chewing the chewed, that's not what human life is about. And Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 40. Bhogaishvara prasaktanam taya pratita chetasam vyayasad mika budhi samadha nad vidyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. So we see that all around us. Those who are too attached to sense enjoyment, even if you try to give them a book, here's a book, here's a key to the answers to the universe. For many lifetimes you've been suffering, and here's a golden ticket to go back to the spiritual world. And if you don't have a donation, I'll even give you one for free. But they're not interested. It's a very unfortunate situation because they're too attached to sense enjoyment. They're under the bodily concept of life. I, me, and mine. I'm this body, I'm my mind, I'm my emotions. Everything that I perceive around me belongs to me and meant for my enjoyment. So with such a conception, they're not interested in self-realization. The purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada says, samadhi means fixed mind. When the mind is fixed for understanding the self, it is said to be in samadhi. Samadhi is never possible for persons interested in material sense enjoyments and bewildered by such temporary things. They are more or less condemned by the process of material energy. And Lord Brahma, in this verse, he mentions that as long as their tendency for foolish work remains powerful, all their plans in the struggle for existence will be cut to pieces. Just imagine that. Someone's working, investing their whole life, trying to create a nice material life for themselves. And at the end, it's just cut to pieces. There's no benefit. Because you have to die. And when you die, you leave the situation. Prabhupada even mentions in a class that, you know, the person could be working so hard on a building, making a skyscraper, being a manager of that skyscraper, and he runs the business, and he's so attached to that place that ultimately he has to die. But his soul, because he's so attached to that building, just takes the form of a rat in the building and, you know, gets like slapped around by the janitor and has to like run for his life inside the same building that he himself paid to build and that he managed the business in. So this is an illusion. And I see this like my father, for example, he's an iron worker. He has to work 8 hours a day. He's like almost 60 years old. And he's been doing this for like 30, almost 40 years. Working 8 hours a day. He has to drive to work, which is like an hour and a half away. Then he has to drive back because of traffic. It's like 2.5 hours away. I'm not kidding you. So that's what, like 4 hours of driving, 8 hours of work. That's 12 hours of life right there. And then he sleeps 7-8 hours. That's almost your whole day. That's like 20 hours. So for 4 hours, what does he get to do? You know, he has a girlfriend and a dog and eat some food and watch TV. What a waste of life. Just 4 hours a day you get to enjoy sense gratification, but you have to work like an ass all day for that. You know, foam at the mouth. But the devotees, they're more intelligent. We heard Siddhanta Prabhu in the morning walk in Denver. He asked Srila Prabhupada, because he was distributing books and people were kind of challenging him and he had some doubts. He'd say, you know, you're just wasting your life in this Krishna consciousness movement. You should go get a job. You're not doing anything for society. You're just running away and, you know, living a lazy life. And so Siddhanta Prabhu asked that question, the only question he ever asked to Srila Prabhupada on this morning walk. And the whole morning walk, Prabhupada was answering this question. And he said, we're not lazy. Actually, Prabhupada says this in a class, just like I think we heard either yesterday or 2 days ago, I mean. Yeah, Prabhupada says that this Krishna consciousness movement is not teaching people to escape. No, that is not Krishna's instruction. We don't allow any lazy man. He must be engaged. That is Krishna consciousness movement. That is Krishna's order. Arjuna was refusing to fight. He was trying to be non-violent, gentle man. Krishna did not allow him. Don't become lazy and imitate Haridas Thakur. That is not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means, as Krishna instructs, you must be very, very busy, 24 hours. That is Krishna consciousness. Not to become a lazy fellow, to simply eat, sleep, no. So when he was talking in this morning walk, he was saying, actually, devotees are the most intelligent. We let the fools work like an ass, and then we take advantage of whatever they create, and we use it in Krishna's service. And he was saying that just like this park, they invest so much money and they work very hard to build this park, but we see nobody's here except for us. That means that they're working hard all day to buy a park that they can't even enjoy because they're too busy working like an ass. But we take that park and we walk around and we get our exercise and we enjoy the scenery. So this is actually real intelligence, that the gopher builds a hole in the ground and the snake waits till the hole is built. Then he goes in the hole, eats the gopher, and then makes the hole his home. So Prabhupada was giving that analogy. So in the same way, I didn't build this phone. You know, we didn't build the materials of this temple. But we take advantage of whatever people are doing. We use it for Krishna's service. Ultimately, the devotees are happy just sleeping under a tree, chanting Hare Krishna. But because we are trying to spread Krishna consciousness, we create this building so people can come, see the deities, and hear Krishna Katha. So the last verse quoted from Srila Prabhupada, from the seventh canto, such foolish men cannot be attracted towards the activities of the Supreme Powerful, who is actually the neutralizing measure for their foolish activities, unless and until they have the good sense to be guided by the great souls who are completely freed from material attachment. So this is a monopoly that our tradition has. We have a disciplic succession of great souls. We have a succession of self-realized spiritual masters going back thousands of years. And so therefore we know that the knowledge we are getting is bona fide. And Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport, he's emphasizing this archana process, pancharatrika vidhi. And in another class, Srila Prabhupada is saying that, he was speaking, and then there was something going on the side, some devotees doing something. And then he says, why are they going? They're busy with some other work? Ugra karma. Without hearing what they will do. Nonsense. Shravanam kirtanam. This is our main business. I'm sure the devotee wasn't going to do some like material activity. He probably had some service to do. But Prabhupada is making this point that shravanam kirtanam is our main process. And without this shravanam kirtanam, that devotional service is either not going to last, you know, because it's based on sentiment, or it doesn't really have any substance to it, because you can get in the routine of just doing labor without really understanding who you're doing the labor for. So Prabhupada goes on to say, if you don't hear, what will you do? You will do simply sense gratification, that's all. You have to hear and speak. If you're not interested in hearing and chanting, then your service is simply a formula. Unless there's life of shravanam kirtanam, hearing and chanting, these big temples will become a burden. If we want to create burden for future, then stop hearing and chanting and sleep nicely. Then it is not Sri Vigraha, but it becomes Galagraha, which means a burden in the neck. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in another place that the danger of not hearing and chanting is that one day you'll be worshiping the deity and think, why is my spiritual master giving me such a burden? But if you actually follow the process of Krishna consciousness as given to us by the previous acharyas, this Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, then naturally our innate love for Krishna will awaken and the deities will be anything but a burden. It will be a burden of love. We'll want to serve the deities. We'll want to meditate on the deities. So that's all I could think of saying. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, Prem Singh. It's okay, I'll repeat it. So Prema Sankirtan quoted the verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted. Such foolish men cannot be attracted towards the activities of the Supreme Powerful, who is actually the neutralizing measure for their foolish activities. So he's wondering what that means. My understanding when I read this is that people are engaged in foolish activity when they actually worship the Supreme Powerful, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their karma for those foolish activities are neutralized. He's the neutralizing measure. That's my understanding. Karma, how's it go? Karma, va, moksha karma, karadi, tevrena, bhakti yogena, how's it go? Vijeta, purisham, param. Yeah, so whether you're desirous of, whether you're full of material desires, whether you have no material desires, or whether you desire liberation, one should engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Absolute with firm conviction. And we see that the example of Dhruva Maharaj, actually when he went to the forest to perform austerity for attracting Lord Vishnu, he was full of all material desire. Actually, he desired a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma. And it was based on vengeance. That was his desire, to get vengeance against his stepmother and his father, to show them that, you know, he's got what it takes to be the supreme. So it was all based on material desire. But he engaged in that devotional service, and ultimately Vishnu manifested in front of him. And from that darshan, Dhruva Maharaj became free from all material desire, and he only wanted the desire to please Lord Vishnu. And he said, I was looking for broken pieces of glass, but I've attained a rare diamond. So if our understanding is that, I can only engage in devotional service if I'm completely free from material desire, then none of us would be here. There would be no Krishna consciousness movement, because otherwise everyone would already be a pure devotee, and therefore there's no need to preach, because everyone's a pure devotee. Of course, we're coming here with mixed motives, where we have impurities within our heart. So what can we do? We're in the shower. We're just cleaning ourselves off. So just keep going, keep engaging in devotional service. Those material desires will get purified. Just continue with the process. Because I think all of us here, I mean, I don't want to speak for anyone, but more or less, probably a lot of people here are on that same platform. You know, we still have material motives, but just keep going. Chant Hare Krishna. Yes, Maharaj.
And that is, as soon as you begin to feel or experience some benefit from what you're doing, that should be an indication of your future. That the more you do this process of purifying activity, chanting Hare Krishna, singing and dancing, shravan, kirtan, as soon as you do these things and you begin to see benefits, that should be indicative of the fact that there will be more benefits, that you're not wasting your time. that things are being progressing. So when we say, well, should I stop doing it because I've been there are impurities in my activities? No. If you have impurities, keep doing the activities that make us pure. And what will happen is the impurities will gradually, step by step, just as they have disappeared, will also disappear over a period of time. The only thing we need to do is develop patience and develop understanding and have faith and hope in the process. Since we've already seen results, why should we not see more results?
Thank you. Karantaraj, Mad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Haribol.